Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew, and here are our four top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. A newly excavated Roman ship off the coast of Majorca dates from the 4th century AD and contains an amazingly intact cargo of fish sauce and other Roman delicacies. A new linguistic analysis points to four separate waves of human migration into the Americas between 24,000 and 12,000 years ago. A new effort to date early historical Jerusalem has made progress in sorting out the chronology during a period when radiocarbon dating tends to be inaccurate. And a DNA study of squirrels and people in medieval England confirms that leprosy spread from squirrels to humans. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in 2024 with our tour of the many eye-catching civilizations spanning thousands of years in northern Peru. Plenty of space remains now, but it will fill up. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of May 5th through the 11th, 2024. Our first story this week comes from the Spanish island of Majorca, where researchers found an ancient Roman shipwreck with a full load of fish sauce. As reported by Live Science, the shipwreck, called the Sei Fonantel, was discovered in 2019 and rests in shallow water near the beach at a resort near Palma, the capital city of Majorca. Previous researchers proposed that the ship originated from or near the Spanish port of Cartagena, already an important port to the Romans, known as the Cartago Spartania. The cause of the wreck around 1700 years ago is unknown. The wreck was found buried under sand in shallow waters. The sediments preserved the shipwreck well, but the turbulence of the water above it, from waves nearing the beach, made the underwater investigation challenging. According to Miguel Ángel Cao Ontiveros, the director of the University of Barcelona's Institute of Archaeology and lead author of the new report, it's rare to find such a well-preserved Roman shipwreck. Sei Fonantel is one of only a few shipwrecks in the Western Mediterranean from the 4th century AD. The new study, published in the journal Archaeological and Anthropological Sciences, describes the ship's cargo of 300 amphorae, or sealed pottery jugs. Many of them contain liquamen, a fish sauce made of anchovies. Ancient Romans loved fish sauce and ate several different varieties. Liquamen was likely made from whole fish, brewed up in the sun in open vats along the seacoast. The wreck and the cargo were well preserved under the sand and sediment that buried the ship immediately after it sank. Other than the amphorae, the cargo included ropes, shoes, a wooden drill, and mass matting called dunnage, which was used as padding around the cargo. Researchers found that many of the amphorae still held substance residues, and they used gas chromatography, residue analysis, and archaeozoology to determine their contents and provenience. Some amphorae held wine, and others an oil, likely olive oil. A Roman coin found on deck, tucked into a location suggesting it had been used to bless the ship, brackets the date of the wreck. The coin, minted in Sheshia in modern Croatia, bears the portrait of Emperor Constantine the Great, meaning that the earliest possible date for the ship is AD 320, the beginning of his reign. Next, we go to North America, where a new linguistic model suggests that indigenous peoples entered North America at least four times from 24,000 to 12,000 years ago. This model corroborates previously established archaeological, climatological, and genetic data. As reported by Live Science, almost one half of the world's language families are found in the Americas. Although many of them are now extinct, historical linguistics can compare the remaining living languages and trace them back through time. Historical linguist Johanna Nichols from the University of California, Berkeley, led the new linguistics study, analyzing the structural features of 60 languages from the United States and Canada. The results showed that the languages belonged to two main language groups that came to North America across four different waves. Nichols detailed 16 features of the languages, such as syllable structure, the gender of nouns, and the production of consonants, that placed the two languages into two groups with subgroups within them. This indicated the four waves of early migration. The first wave of immigration dates to around 24,000 years ago and contains no unique language features. This suggests that this wave held many diverse peoples and languages. The second wave dates to around 15,000 years ago and introduces languages that use pronouns differentiated with unique consonants. The third wave, from around 14,000 years ago, includes languages with simple consonants. Around 12,000 years ago, the final wave brought languages with complex consonants. Previous researchers have assumed that initial American immigration started with a land bridge from Siberia around 13,000 years ago. However, new archaeological, geological, climatological, and genetic findings have indicated an earlier date. The current and still fluid consensus is that several waves of people came after 25,000 years ago. The new language data help reinforce the belief that North America was populated earlier than previously thought. While the new evidence aligns with discoveries from other fields, the method still has limitations. The statistical classification doesn't always match up with known language families. Linguistic relationships can also be obscured through influence from neighboring languages. Finally, the study indicates how languages entered and evolved in North America, but the origins of these languages remain unknown. Our third story takes us to the city of Jerusalem in Israel, where new methods have dated several archaeological events described in the Bible. These events include the city's settlement, a major earthquake, and its destruction by the Babylonians. As reported by Live Science, the city has been hard to date within the period from 770 to 420 BC, the Hallstatt Plateau, a stretch of lower solar activity that produced less of the radioactive isotope carbon-14. The lower levels of C-14 make radiocarbon dates in this period less accurate. The Hallstatt Plateau is one major factor explaining why most of Jerusalem has not been radiocarbon dated. Instead, archaeological chronology has been based on stratigraphy, pottery comparisons, and dates from ancient written chronicles from Israel and Babylon. According to Elisabetta Boaretto, archaeology professor at the Weizmann Institute of Science and senior author of the new study, analyzing new materials has yielded a chronology of Jerusalem that is unprecedented in its precision. The new study analyzed sediment from human occupations and radioactive carbon concentrations in charred seeds. The researchers used 103 seed samples and other remains from across five sites in the ancient neighborhood of the city of David, near the Temple Mount. The new method used both radiocarbon dating and a group of precise analytical methods collectively termed microarchaeology. Researchers applied the method to the layers of sediment connected to the seeds. They confirmed the dates with measurements of atmospheric radiocarbon taken from the growth rings of trees that grew between 624 and 572 BC. The dating was further secured with evidence of the Babylonian destruction in 586 BC. The study revealed new evidence for the dating of Jerusalem's settlement between the 12th and 10th centuries BC, and shows that the city underwent westward expansion in the 9th century BC. An earthquake mentioned in the Bible has never been firmly dated. Researchers found a layer of fallen stones and damaged materials that indicated it occurred in the mid-8th century BC. The team found evidence of the continued use of some of the sites after the earthquake and before the invasions, which shows that occupation in this period was relatively stable. The stability ended with fires caused by the Babylonian invasions. These events are recorded in both Neo-Babylonian records and the Bible. While this study presents new methods for uncovering important historical information, the results are currently under debate since they come from limited samples and less than ideal archaeological contexts. Our last story this week brings us to Winchester, England, where a new DNA study reveals how red squirrels served as hosts for the bacteria that induces leprosy in people. As reported by Heritage Daily, leprosy is one of humanity's oldest recorded diseases. Leprosy is still widespread throughout parts of Asia, Africa, and South America. It is mainly caused by the bacteria Mycobacterium leprae. Leprosy can become a chronic infection, leading to blindness, nerve damage, and distinctive lesions on the skin. Even now, researchers understand very little about how the disease is transmitted between people and between people and animals. One previous suggestion about how leprosy was transmitted in medieval Europe is the extensive trade in red squirrel fur. The fur of the red squirrel was highly valued in medieval times for its color, warmth, widespread availability, and ease of use. In the new study, published in the journal Current Biology, an international team of researchers analyzed samples from 25 humans and 12 squirrels taken from two medieval sites in Winchester. Winchester was strongly involved in the fur trade and also rife with leprosy. The first site was St. Mary Magdalene's Leprosarium, a hospital for leprosy patients active between the early 11th and late 15th centuries. The second site was Staple Gardens, a street dating back to the 12th century with at least one furrier shop. At Staple Gardens, excavations had uncovered two pits with foot bones from many different small mammals, such as cats, foxes, and squirrels, the leftovers from processing these animals for their fur. According to Verena Scheunemann, a researcher from the University of Basel in Switzerland, genetic analysis shows that red squirrels were an animal host of leprosy. The genetic analysis combined evidence from historical sources and archaeological material. The study found that medieval red squirrel strains of the bacteria were more closely related to human strains in Winchester than modern English squirrel strains. This suggests that Mycobacterium leprae independently circulated among squirrels and was transferred back and forth from red squirrels to humans. According to Sarah Inskip, co-author and researcher from the University of Leicester, this study demonstrates the importance of involving archaeological material in studying zoonotic disease infections that spread between humans and animals. Direct comparison of ancient human and animal strains can allow for reconstructions of potential transmission events. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.